Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora, or head on over to the website AmericaOutLoud.com and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. Recently, Joe Biden was in Georgia, and he was supposed to have Stacey Abrams join him, but she claimed that she was busy doing something else, and she did not join him. It looks to me like Joe Biden is so toxic that even Stacey Abrams does not want to be associated with Joe Biden right now. Joe Biden's election reform is completely the opposite of what a 2005 bipartisan commission said that we need to do. The commission's recommendations were that we need to increase voter ID requirements, reduce mail-in voting as much as possible, stop ballot harvesting, maintain voter lists and remove dead people, require election observers to monitor ballot counting in a fair manner, and make sure voting machines are working properly. This was in 2005, a bipartisan commission. It seems like at this point, the Democrats want to do the opposite of everything the commission suggested that would make the elections more fair. It just seems to be that this is the Democrats' chance for a one-party rule, which is what I think they want. They want it to be the progressive Democrats against the Democrats like Joe Biden, I guess. It's just all about a one-party rule and taking over our elections. Rob, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing just grand, Andrew. Want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. After Dark with Rob and Andrew. We do appreciate you tuning in, listening, and as we always say, please share the broadcast. We also want to thank BB Diamond, who will be joining us tonight and helping us break down current events. BB, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor. Thank you.
Now, to your opening, well, before I talk about your opening, Andrew, I want to find out to make certain that you're okay, because you were ill on Monday and you managed to come on Tuesday. And tonight, it sounds as though you're okay. So how are you, Andrew?
I'm still recovering. It's like the late stages of a flu, I would compare it to, where it hit me very hard at first last week, Friday night. It's when I first felt it. And then each day, it's been a little bit of an improvement, but still feeling like I'm recovering from a flu.
No, you haven't gotten tested yet, have you? To see if it's COVID, if it's Rona. Omicron or Delta, and then I think they're bringing their cousin now, Florona or someone.
Yeah.
And have you gotten tested?
No, I haven't. And that's just how I am. In fact, I haven't even been to a doctor since I was in about, I think, eighth grade physical.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
Yeah. So I don't play too much into the doctor's hands or much unless if it's like really serious. So I'm pretty sure it's COVID, but I guess I'll just never know for sure.
Well, you know, they're not going to like that, especially the CDC, because they want you to go in so they could check that box off and say, okay, Andrews, we got him. He's got COVID. Let's increase the count, because they're all about increasing the count to scare people. Now, as you guys know, I had it. I had it, my son. And unbeknownst to me, I didn't know that I had it. I was taking him to be tested because he had to get back into school, couldn't get into school unless he had a negative test. And as I've said on previous shows, sure enough, he tested positive. I tested positive. I had no symptoms. I was fine. I would say I might have had like at one point a cough for all of 15 minutes. But other than that, I was up and about and, you know, okay, enjoying life. So this past weekend, we went back, got tested, and we tested out and we're negative. So, but I find it interesting how there's this big push to get everyone tested as much as possible in order to, I would think, increase the COVID numbers. They could say these are the people that have it, but needless to say, now it's backfiring on them, because at one point they wanted to shut everything down and now they want to open things up. They want the teachers back in schools. And these poor teachers, I don't know if they're sincere with this or they just don't want to be at school, but they're saying, no, we don't want to go back to school because we're afraid that something might happen. I'm like, what could possibly happen? Joe gave you guys billions of dollars, I think almost $20 billions of dollars, to get the schools up to standards, to get in the dividers, to get disinfectants and whatnot, so that everything would be okay. But apparently, they've lost that money. How can you lose $20 billion when it was designated to go to the schools with a particular purpose. How can you lose it? I mean, maybe we should ask Charlene McRae, because she had $1 billion of New York's money that she was supposed to use for some project called Strive to help the homeless. She lost that. No accountability. So fast forward, money for COVID for the schools, it's gone. Poof, it's gone. No accountability. No one's going to demand an audit to say, we want to see where you spent this money. Now, if this were a Republican district school, of course, the Democrats would have the IRS after them to look at every line item. But because we have a Democrat in office who's given money, a lot of the money, the lion's share of the money to Democratic school districts, no one seems to care. So, hey, what do you do? Now, pivoting back to your opening, Andrew, about Biden in Atlanta, and I watched him there, and I wanted to make certain that they were following COVID protocol, wanted to make certain that they had their mask on. But sure enough, he had his mask on, because he never goes anywhere without that mask. He can be on the outside. During the Christmas break, he was in Delaware on the beach, just he and his wife and their dog. Jill had on her mask, well, did not have on a mask. The dog didn't have on a mask, but old Joe had his mask on. Like, man, you do realize you're on the beach and you're the only people that are there. But I guess he was trying to, you know, use it as a prop. I don't know. But back to Atlanta and Stacey Abrams not showing up with Joe. By design, this is a woman who thinks she's a governor of Georgia. And she's running again. She never conceded. As she said, that means something. So she's running again. She sees that Joe's numbers are low in the polls. So she does not want to touch Joe. She does not want to be seen with Joe. She doesn't want to be guilt by association. So she made up some excuse that there was a scheduling conflict. Really? This is the president of the United States. You helped him steal, I think, the election in Georgia. I don't know. I would think you would want to be there by his side. But maybe she's mad, BB, that he didn't pick her to be the vice president. And she didn't want to be seen on the stage with he and Kamala. Kamala, who's complaining now that people are attacking her because she's a Black Asian female, and they're just hard on her as vice president. Never mind the fact that they were hard on Mike Pence. They were hard on Dick Cheney, and they should have been hard on Dick Cheney. They were hard on Dan Quayle, and these were all white men. But she wants her own special category, that they're hard on her. Go figure. But like I said, Stacey Abrams was a no-show. She did not want to be on stage with them. And then when Biden got on stage and gave his speech, it was another firebrand speech with him lamenting, I'm going to do this and we're going to get rid of white supremacy. And where is the white supremacy? This is 2022. If there is white supremacy, it is on the left. New York City, you have our mayor, the new mayor, Eric Adams, talking about white supremacy. I want to say, you do realize that you're in liberal New York City. You have the mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, talking about white supremacy. London Bree in California talking about white supremacy. Everything is about white supremacy, and it's in liberal cities. Like, are you folks serious? Yeah, they're serious, but they just don't want to call it out for what it really is. If there's white supremacy, it's on the side of the left. They're the white supremacist. But they got everyone else afraid of the boogeyman. They keep bringing it up. White supremacy, white supremacy. What about the Blacks that are destroying our cities, committing crimes? What about them? What about these district attorneys that aren't going to prosecute the cases anymore? Shouldn't we be concerned about that? No, we should be concerned about white supremacy, and we've got to create a new domestic terrorism unit with the FBI to fight white supremacy. It's ridiculous. It's a waste of money. And we got to call it off of what it is. A bunch of nonsense. BB, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. And once again, thank you for having me on. Excellent opening by both of you. The whole white supremacy thing is a farce. It's all that the Democrats and left have. They have lost the American people, even though they control the White House, the Senate, and the Congress, the media, of course. The entertainment industry, academia, they do not control the American people. They realize that. So what they're planning to do is they want to federalize elections. And part of it is creating this boogeyman about the white man and Republicans are wanting to take away voting rights or diminish voting rights. None of that is true. What Republicans and conservatives specifically are aiming for is to protect the integrity of our elections. And that's what the Democrats cannot stand because they know they'll lose. They have a losing platform. They are out of step with the majority of the American people. So they create this thing and it's about race. They want to act like we're still in 1963 and Mississippi is still burning because that's all they have left. Now, under normal circumstances, someone like Kamala Harris wouldn't have been selected as VP. Barack Obama selected her. We know, based on what we understand, that she pretty much slept her way to the top. She's not that qualified. She's not that smart. It has nothing to do with her being half Indian and half Jamaican. That has nothing to do with that. And as far as Stacey Abrams is concerned, quite frankly, I think what she did was a political mistake because you're talking, regardless of whatever we think of Joe Biden, he is currently the commander in chief, the president of the United States. We know the election was stolen, but that's another story. If I were Stacey Abrams, I would have at least appeared at the speech because the reality is she needs Joe Biden and the machine behind him, like Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, Susan Rice, and others. So I thought that was a political mistake on Stacey Abrams' part, but it does send a clear message that Biden and his administration, they are toxic and it's not a winning team. And we get that. But I think Stacey, if I were her, I would have shown up just to make an appearance. So it will come back to haunt her. But Joe Biden has to understand it, and it will become more apparent as we go along, that the election in Georgia was stolen. We now have evidence that in the middle of the night, there was ballot harvesting, which is illegal in Georgia. But more about that will be coming out.
Well, you know, what you're saying is so true about Stacey Abrams and being a political mistake. But she obviously feels as if though she's grand, she has all this power, and that she doesn't need them. But as I say this and just really thinking about it, I mean, she probably did not want to stand on stage with Kamala. No one likes Kamala. Kamala's own staffers are leaving her. They're dropping out like flies. And the people that she's selecting to be on her staff, they don't like Joe. So it's like she can't win for losing. So this whole thing that they were doing about theatrics, he's going laying a wreath on the tomb of Martin Luther King. As you guys know, we're going to celebrate his birthday on Monday. And one of the things that I want to point out about all this with him talking about white supremacy and we need to defeat it, only playing to a certain base, only playing to Blacks, wanting Blacks to be afraid. And then once they get the vote, they do absolutely nothing for them. But keep making promises, 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 promises. Whereas when Trump was in office, he delivered, delivered, delivered. He tackled criminal justice, criminal reform, prison reform. He just like, we're going to just tackle this right now. Gave money to historical Black colleges. Created empowerment zones. Made the workforce equal. Whereas Biden coming in, doing the same thing that he's done for the past 40 years. Vote for us and we're going to make it better. But when are you going to make it better? And they being Blacks, keep giving them the votes. And now they're pivoting and looking at the Hispanic votes. So why say shore up those votes? Blacks can forget it. It's like, you're there, but we see you, but we're going to focus on these votes here. So at some point in time, you would think that people would realize that look, you guys have been singing the same song and dance over and over again. And this whole thing, as you so clearly pointed out, Andrew, about the boats, what they're trying to do, we want to change the boats. Well, you want to change it because you want to cheat, as you said, BB. They want to cheat. They know that they cannot win on their own. They can't win. So the only way to make certain that their people, the Democrats, stay in power is to cheat. Let's change the election laws, not realizing that if you blow up the filibuster and change the election law, aren't you aware that Republicans could come in and say, okay, fine. Now that gives us the power to blow up this whole thing with abortion and everything else that we don't like. And I guess then the Democrats will come and say, oh, this is not fair. We need to reinstitute the filibuster. But right now it's the filibuster. Do whatever we need to do to get our agenda across. We don't care about if people don't want it. We're just going to push it through. And then, and like I said, it's all by design. Atlanta, lay the wreath on tomb on Martin Luther's grave, and they're going to call the voting right, John Lewis voting bill. Because this is in honor of him. And if you don't vote for John Lewis, you're saying that you don't like Black people. No, I'm just saying that I don't like his thought process. Because John Lewis, if you recall, said when Trump won the election, Inauguration Day, he said, I'm not going to go because I think he's an illegitimate president. We heard that for 4 years, illegitimate president, Russia collusion, he stole, he this. And now fast forward, we can't talk about them stealing the election, be it true or not. Why can't we talk about it? They talked about it, and theirs certainly wasn't true. There was no evidence of Russia collusion, not a scintilla of evidence of Russia collusion. But yet and still, they talked about it. And as I said the other night on the show, even the right, when they would talk about it, they would say, well, you know, there's Russia collusion, as opposed to saying there is no foundation. There's no foundation for this. There is no proof. There's nothing here. Everything that they're talking about has been dispelled. And even if there's no investigation, you can look at it and see that there's no there there. But they wouldn't say that. They would always start off their evening news with, and on to the Russia collusion and the Russia collusion, as opposed to saying, no, it's not Russia collusion. Whereas now they'll say there's no evidence that the election was stolen. Whereas, as BB pointed out, ballot harvesting in Georgia. And one other thing that I want to point out that people fail to realize is that when they say, well, Trump's team took these lawsuits to 63 different courts and they rejected them. It's like, but the most important thing, what you fail to realize, is that it's not up to the courts, it's up to the legislatures. And what happened is that the courts intervened and said, we're going to let this vote count. We're going to let them vote this way. The courts can't do that. Look at the Constitution. The courts can't do it. It has to be the legislatures. So when all these people were going to the courts and the courts were making these decisions, that was wrong. So now what do the Democrats want to do? They want to remove it from the states, take it to the federal government so that they can control how the votes are handled. And they can say, we want mail-in ballots. We want everyone to stay at home. That's not up for the courts. It's up to the state legislatures. But people are completely unaware of the election laws, and they will think that what they're doing is right and it is wrong. Now, on that note, I, of course, as I said before, I want to start bringing this to you guys in real time. I want to play a video, a tape, rather, of Joe saying that he's completely against blowing up the filibuster. But now he's for it. Dick Durbin said that he was against it. Chuck Schumer passionately spoke out against it. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. The same thing that happened with illegals crossing the border. Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, George W., even Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, they all said that we need border protection. We need a border wall or border fence to keep illegals from coming here. But once they realized that if they come, we could use them as far as voting, They change their minds and say, hey, let them come. So now the same thing with the filibuster. Back in 2020, Joe Biden said it would be ridiculous to get rid of the filibuster. Run the tape.
Speaking of those other candidates, several of them have proposed major structural reforms to our government and to our democracy. These include abolishing the Electoral College, expanding the size of the Supreme Court, setting term limits for justices, abolishing the legislative filibuster. Which, if any of these, do you support?
None. What the filibuster does, what the extended debate does, is to force both sides of the aisle to come together in a bipartisan, compromising way.
They want, because they can't get their way on every judge, to change the rules in midstream, to wash away 200 years of history. They want to make this country into a banana republic, where if you don't get your way, you change the rules.
There you have it. It speaks for itself. I didn't say it. They said it. Biden said it as late as 2020. Now he's out saying, blow up the filibuster. Let's get what we want. Let's steamroll over on them and let's do it. You have Joe Manchin, Kristen Sinema. They're sitting back saying, no, I don't think so. And what's happening to them? They have sent out their henchmen to attack them, to say that Joe Manchin is a racist. He's against Black people. Now, if Joe Manchin were to vote their way, oh, they would sing his praises. Oh, he's the greatest thing. Oh, we love him. Oh, he's so smart. But because he wants to abide by the Constitution and put a stop to this ridiculousness, all at once, he's become a racist. Kristen Sinema, they're going to attack her. Follow her into the ladies' room. This is the Democrat Party of 2021, 2021, 2022. This is a Democrat Party. They're supposed to be for the people. They're not for the people. They're for themselves. It's ridiculous. It's horrible. And we have to call them out because elections have consequences. And when we don't stand together and vote against these knuckleheads, this is what we get. What do you two say?
Yeah, for all the Democrats talk about, it's that clip you just played was excellent, about how the Republicans are trying to push through all these judges and stuff. It's just another example of the Democrats projecting onto the Republicans what they're actually up to themselves. And as I said at the beginning of the show, I believe this all comes down before the midterms, because they know that they're going to get whipped the way things are now and the way that Joe Biden's administration has ran thus far. They're just trying to turn this into a one-party rule, and that's the way they think it should be. It's really sad, and it's quite obvious what they're doing here.
You know, and great comment and excellent clip, Rob. The Democrats are toxic to this nation. They want to push through socialism, Marxism. They want to bulldoze over the American people, over our processes, including the filibuster. They have no respect for the Constitution. So at this point, quite frankly, we cannot afford to vote for any more Democrats until the party is reformed. Now, under John F. Kennedy, the Democrat Party was for the working class, was for the poor. They are not. It's about power and pushing through a socialist agenda. That's what they're about at this point, at least the leadership of the Democrat Party. And we have to be really thankful to Senators Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Kristen Sinema of Arizona. We're very thankful for them, because without Joe Manchin and both of them standing up against the Build Back Better, which is a socialist program, that legislation more than likely would have passed. So the Democrats are very toxic at this point. Many of them are retiring because they know they're going to get wiped out during the midterms this year. And it needs to happen, because they are the antithesis. What they stand for goes against how this country was founded and its founding principles, founding documents. They just want to bully everyone, and it's a form of tyranny that's not acceptable. We saw it even at the more micro level, like former New York City Mayor de Blasio and Governor of Michigan Whitmer. It's about this leaning toward tyranny, and therefore we the people, we're the bulwark to really stop this. And so we must, at this point, stop voting for Democrats, period.
We don't have a choice. We have to. We have to stand up because we see the direction that they're taking the country. And it's not good at all. You look at all the policies that he's trying to propose, and you look at the missteps. There have been numerous missteps. Look at Afghanistan. 13 soldiers lost their lives, and they don't want to talk about it. They have pivoted. They're making it seem as if though it was okay. We still have Americans behind enemy lines, and they're trying to justify it. Look at the whole COVID misstep. When Trump was in office, they were complaining, and Joe himself came out and said that anyone who's in office who have allowed these many people to die and not have testing kits for everyone should not be in office, should be fired.
Yeah, okay. And something that a lot of people forget is President Trump had North Korea well in order as well. And in the last week, they fired two supersonic missiles. So they're back to firing missiles.
They're back to firing missiles. Who's going to stop them? Because they're certainly not afraid of Joe. They're not afraid of Joe at all.
Well said, Rob. You're tuned in to After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app for free to keep track of all the great shows. We'll be back with more on After Dark with Rob and Andrew with our special guest, Phoebe Dunn.
I'm excited to talk about a new product from Healthy Cell, AC11. This is a patented bioactive extract of Uncaria tomentosa from the Amazon rainforest. It supports cell DNA repair and health span. It's a dietary supplement. I'm excited to try it. Many are interested in longevity and attenuation of senescence. We know that telomere length and other biologic measures are related to senescence in clinical and preclinical studies, particularly of animal models. And I can tell you as a doctor, dietary supplements do hold the promise of attenuating repair and damage in our body due to stress, physical wear and tear, sunlight, etc. And there's a tremendous opportunity for supplements to help us in this area. And so Healthy Cell has brought a product to market for you to try as part of your health portfolio. So please go to healthycell.com. And in the promotional code, list out loud for 20% off your first purchase of products from Healthy Cell. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Because of COVID-19, many Americans worry about their health four times a day. That's 112 times per month. But by simply keeping our immune system strong, we can stay healthy and put our worries at ease. One little known way to do this is by taking AC11. A patented supplement from a plant in the Amazon rainforest. Studied for over 20 years and backed by over 40 scientific peer-reviewed studies, taking AC11 has been proven to extend the life of immune cells called leukocytes, allowing you to boost immunity naturally. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of AC11. That's healthycell.com, HEALTHYCELL. And use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutLoud.com. Simply put, we're patriots who believe in Ronald Reagan's vision of a shining city on a hill. From sea to shining sea, you can listen in on iHeartRadio. Our free apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa, or our world-class media player. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Unrepentant.
back with After Dark with Robin Andrew, and our special guest tonight is BB Diamond. The first half, we had a rather lively conversation on Joe Biden and the left's push to blow up the filibuster that would require both sides to come together and hash out a deal to work together. But now that the Democrats are in control, they're saying, screw you, we don't care. It's our way or the highway, which is how they roll. And as I've always said, elections have consequences. And speaking of consequences, we spoke about this last night and the night before. There is a huge tsunami coming our way in New York City. It's already hit LA County, Chicago, Philadelphia. What is that? These radical DAs that have been propped up by George Soros, propped up so that, as opposed to ensuring that the law is followed, they're trying to make laws, to create their own laws, the way they see things should be, a Shangri-La, so to speak, when in actuality, it's nothing but devastation. You look at California, the smash and grab, high-end stores, and not just high-end stores, just regular stores, and people being accosted and harmed. Chicago, it has always been that way. Lori Lightfoot said she was going to change it. She said, vote for me. I'm going to get a handle on this. And she is yet to do it. London Bree, the exact same thing in San Francisco. What I don't understand is that why aren't people looking at this? And when it's time to elect someone else, why would you re-elect them? Why wouldn't you try something different? Try a different party. That's what New York did when they had Giuliani and Bloomberg, because they knew the Democrats weren't working. Mayor David Dinkins, God rest his soul, he was a horrible mayor. Horrible. Now we have Eric Adams. He's talking a lot of talk. He's saying that he's going to stand up to Black Lives Matter. He's going to put plainclothes police back out there on the beat. But there are other things that he's doing that are questionable. I don't know how he's going to handle the new DA, Alvin Bragg. But right now, Eric Adams' police commissioner, Kenshin Sewell, she's saying that what Alvin Bragg is proposing, his line of prosecution, it's just not going to work for the city. And again, you see this across the board in blue cities. These radical DAs that are destroying the city. And for what? Why? Why? Bibi, what do you say?
You know, thanks for tackling this topic. You know, it's an outrage what Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg has proposed. And I'm glad that Police Commissioner Sewell is standing up to it, because it's outrageous. He's putting the entire borough of Manhattan at risk. And so someone could, you could be an elderly woman or man sitting on the subway. Someone could almost beat you to death. And unless you die, they could essentially, due to bail reform, they could walk out that same day. They may never be prosecuted, or it may be soft-pedaled. This is putting the entire, at least the borough of Manhattan, at risk. It is outrageous. And I'm glad that Andrew Giuliani, who's running for governor, and their businesses and others were standing up and saying he has to be recalled. Businesses want to meet with the DA because this does not make sense. But to your point, these are district attorneys who have been backed by George Soros. It is time, and maybe hopefully it'll happen when Republican is back in the White House. We need to flush out George Soros. Quite frankly, I mean, he used capitalism to become a billionaire, and he's now using that money to push leftist policies, including opening the borders, which puts every American at risk. This is an outrage, and more than likely, the people who are going to be harmed the most, as with Chicago and any other areas, all of us are at risk, but particularly minority communities. This is going to negatively impact the city of New York. It's outrageous. And it must be, we must stand against it. Thank you.
You're right, BB. It is. It's outrageous. And why people keep supporting these individuals and not calling them out. you look at George Soros, and we've known for some time that he is behind supporting all of these left-wing nuts. Maybe they're smart, I don't know. But when you're going to sit back and you're going to say, we're not going to prosecute this type of crime because no one was killed. And I heard somewhere that Alvin Bragg had said, well, why don't people get this? Why are they so mad? Don't we realize that we're dealing with people with mental illness? And once we lock them up, they're back on the street and we're going to get the same thing? Exactly, because you have to be tough on crime. And I would say not only Manhattan, it's going to affect Brooklyn, the Bronx, Staten Island. I mean, they're already playing fields for disaster. I mean, it's like a modern day Iraq, just like Chicago.
And you're absolutely right. And then continue to allow things like theft slide is just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, if you get something valuable stolen from you, your apartment or house broken into or whatever, and then they steal valuable things from you, and then you want someone to be held accountable, and then they're not held accountable, I mean, that just shows you that it feels like you don't have that much value to society from a legal perspective. I mean, this is just totally backwards.
It's completely backwards. And as I have always said, when you look at this, and Alvin Bragg had said, unfortunately, that when he's looking to prosecute, he's going to look at the socioeconomic level, the person's black background, as well as the race, their skin color. What does skin color have to do with crime? Crime doesn't care what color you are. Crime will commit crime. So are you saying that Black people can't obey the law like other people? I mean, in essence, it seems as though that's what he's saying, BB, that no, as a Black person, you can't obey the law. So we've got to give you, you know, we've got to be more lenient on you. We've got to give you a little slide by, a little wink, wink, and you go ahead. What are the ways we're supposed to interpret it? Go ahead.
You're absolutely right. I'm sorry. You're absolutely right. And this is part of destabilizing American society. We've been too successful, we've had too much success, too much happiness, prosperity, according to the leftists. So this is a way to destabilize the American society. They're feeding in, the root cause of this is the broken home in the Black community. It's not the white man. It's not any of that. It's the broken home in the Black community and the Black church not stepping up and helping these young men, largely men and women, with a guiding set of principles, namely the Ten Commandments. So you have lost Black men and women out there committing crimes, and they are being used, not realizing it, to destabilize the American society. Point number two is that what the leftists have done, and very effectively, I must say, is that they've taken over the Democrat Party. Now, if they were another party, right? They came out as a socialist party. We wouldn't have voted. Alvin Bragg wouldn't be in office. We wouldn't have had a de Blasio, quite frankly. We wouldn't have had any of these radicals, AOC. But because the Democrat Party was the first majority party established in the United States, in spite of its racism, its support of the Ku Klux Klan, they have been treated as part of the American culture. It's one of the two major parties. So we've been trained, particularly in the inner cities, Blacks and Hispanics, but Hispanics are breaking away. But too many Blacks have been brainwashed to vote automatically for Democrats. And the GOP doesn't really campaign in inner cities, which is a mistake. But that's a story for another day. So because we basically have a good country, we basically trust our government, including the Democrat Party. We just click the Democrat. We just automatically vote, not realizing that the Socialist Party, the Communist Party, have now pushed their platforms to the Democrat Party. It's in the Democrat Party. It's part of it. And we're just flipping and voting for Democrats, not knowing the danger we're bringing onto our own communities. And one final point, if I may, when New York City says, let's allow nearly a million illegals to vote, that desecrates the memory of Black people who fought and were killed for the right to vote. And yet you have civil rights leaders who are silent. So people can walk across the border and vote, whereas you, your ancestors, and my ancestors, Rob, had to fight and were killed in some instances to gain the right to vote. It's a shame and it's an insult. And we Black people need to get off the plantation of the Democrats.
Phoebe, that's powerful because you're so right. Our ancestors died for the right to vote. We were told that you could not vote. They had all these qualifications. And now you have the Democrats saying, well, we want to change the vote, as we said in the first half of the show, with this whole John Lewis voting rights bill. Blacks died for the right to vote. And now you're having a group to come in illegally, and you're just going to, okay, let them vote. That will dilute the Black vote. And I have said this before, it will dilute the Black vote in the Black neighborhoods. So you have a diluted vote, then you have crime running amok in the neighborhoods. And it affects Black people. And when you have the crime, goods and services move out. Stores move out. Pharmacies move out. If you don't have a pharmacy, the aging population, what are they going to do? Stores deciding, oh, we don't want to be here. Whole Foods, I'm not going to be here. Why should we be here? If they're going to come in and steal everything. The same thing with the supply chain. Look at the supply chain. Who's responsible for that? Joe claims that, oh, we've got it all worked out. But when the stores start to leave, and then the stores that are there can't get their goods into the community, who suffers? The Black community. But yet and still, the Democrats are saying, we're for the Black man. We're going to support the Black man. And we're going to give the Black man this. Yeah, but you have crime running amok in our neighborhoods. You have stores that are here that can't get goods in because of the supply chain problem, because the other big stores have decided to leave. And now we have nothing. Who's to blame? We see this over and over and over again. We're constantly brought back to the same point every year because people's eyes are focused on something different. Right now, we see this as an opportunity to make the white man pay because he's our enemy. No, he's not. Look in the mirror. You are your own enemy. You are destroying your own neighborhoods, and you're allowing the Democrats to help you do it. It's sad when you go to a store and you can't see a loaf of bread on the store. Just imagine a year from now when D.A. Bragg unleashed all of this crime on the city, and then stores in your neighborhood decide, oh, we're leaving. We're not going to be here. And then you're left with stores that don't have anything on the shelves because they can't get the goods and services in because no one's going to focus on those stores because they're going to look in and say, hey, who cares about those stores anyway? They all run down. We're going to try to help the other stores. Got to wake up, folks. I keep saying it. We have got to wake up.
Yeah. Just speaking as someone that lives, I live in the middle of Illinois, so it's a long ways from New York City. But of course, I read about what's going on there quite a bit. And it just sounds unbelievable, this lawlessness that we're seeing. My question for you, Rob, is when you go out in New York City and you realize and you know that these criminals are not getting prosecuted for a majority of these crimes, does that give you heightened senses when you go out and make you even more aware of your surroundings because you know that the person next to you could be a criminal and they could get away with it without even getting arrested?
Yep. Let's put it this way. When Trump was president, I felt comfortable going out like right at midnight, walking around, not a care in the world. Now I have second reservations about going out. Now that it's daylight saving times and it gets dark quicker, and I'm a man and I live in the heart of New York, the city area, the financial district, I don't feel safe because you have homeless people walking around. There's a hotel, a high-end hotel where I live that they converted to a homeless shelter for men who have records, sexually abuse people, abuse kids, and they're not supposed to be near kids, but they have them here in the neighborhood. You know why? Because de Blasio said, oh, why can't they live there? So just imagine walking out and here these bombs are, cursing, swearing, defecating on the streets. And oh, and that's okay. No, it is not okay. That's not how we're supposed to live. So now that we have D.A. Bragg, he's going to be like, okay, well, if you got hit in the head, did he kill you? Okay, well, let's just let him go. You'll live to see another day. What about the person who did lose a life? I read the other day, there was a 16-year-old girl at a Burger King. A guy went in and robbed it. And on he got the money, $100 bill. And as he was leaving, he turned around, shot her, and killed her. Where are the protests? Who's going to protest for her life? Will her family get millions of dollars, $1 million payout? Is the city going to pony up the money? It's the city's fault because you're letting all these criminals out there. But who's going to look out for her family? Her life mattered just like George Floyd's life mattered. Eric Garner's life, her life mattered. But quiet as it's kept, we'll just move right on. The media won't say much about it. They reported, okay, move on. Meanwhile, you have three-year-olds, four-year-olds, two-year-olds that are being killed in their apartment being shot down by a stray bullet. You have people walking the streets with guns shooting each other. And if the person doesn't die, okay, we'll just give them a ticket and then we'll let them go. Baby, it's scary.
No, you're completely right. And on top of this, the bail reform law, which allows criminals, I mean, it's horrible. I know a lady, I'm friends with her on Facebook, and I'll make it very brief. Her son was stabbed to death in Harlem. But because of it happened, I believe in 2019, and the bail reform law went into effect January 2020. As a result of that, one of his killers is walking the street. She was let out on bail. So it's impacting us at a level in New York that's unprecedented. And I believe the Democrats, their plan, because they've been taken over by the left, is trying to destabilize American society. And this is why I'm urging people at this point, and I don't believe in a one-party system, but at this point, we cannot afford as a nation to keep electing Democrats. They're putting our safety at risk. And these blue cities, these major cities, where, you know, you have Democrats running them from Los Angeles to New York City, they're putting us at risk. The lawlessness is out of control. We have to carry, I know when I go to New York, I'm carrying pepper spray. I don't know what's going to happen. You have people being attacked just walking down the street. This is outrageous. And it's like the Democrats, and I know about the spirit behind it, the ideal behind it is really, you know, socialism, Stalinism, and or communism, but they use the face of the Democrat Party. They're putting us all at risk, and it's not acceptable. And if these same people who want to cozy up to minorities and lower standards so minorities can feel comfortable are the very same people who are putting us at risk, who want to defund the police, who want to let out criminals. I remember this whole thing of releasing criminals because of COVID, only to have innocent people on the streets attacked. This lawlessness that's coming out of the Democrat Party must be stopped. And the only way we can stop them at this point is to stop voting for Democrats, period. They're putting all of us at risk. And the very people they claim they care about, they're just using us. That's all they're doing, because we're the people impacted, the working, the poor, because we have to ride the subways, not the wealthy. The wealthy are doing fine in this climate. It's people like you, me, and the average person who are suffering because of this. Thank you.
You're right. And it's really, when you think about it, I mean, and just look at it, the people that are suffering are the people that they claim that they're trying to protect. But you're not protecting those people. You're causing more harm. It's like, don't you see that? Or do they not want to see it? And because you have, as I said, Blacks that are constantly going in and voting for them over and over again. I too don't believe in a one-party system, but at some point we've got to wake up and say, wait a minute, this other party is not doing anything for us, because the Democratic Party now has become a socialist communist party and they don't care about any. They're out for themselves. And because we're coming up on Martin Luther King's birthday, and I said this during the first half of the show, his whole dream was the content of character. The content of character, not your skin color, not what you have on, your socioeconomic level. It was content of character. And over the past 20 years or so, the content of a lot of people's character has just like gone down, went south. We don't care anymore. We just don't care. And I think a lot of it has to do with social media. No one is embarrassed. We do anything, say anything, and it's okay. Things that used to be hidden underground, we wouldn't talk about. Oh, we're talking about it all now. So there is no shame. So you have people that are committing crimes and they're thinking, oh, this gives me street cred. Oh, I got street cred now. And now that you know that you're not going to be arrested, and if you are, they'll let you out. Resisting being arrested, oh, don't worry about it. You won't get charged. That's what the criminal wants to hear. So they're probably right now plotting and saying, oh, I can do whatever. I can walk into a store and steal. And we have to just be honest. Because when you look at the pictures of BB and Andrew on TV, the people who are doing the stealing, smash and grab, it pains me to say it. And I say this every time on the show. They are Black people, brown people. Yeah, there might be one or two whites that they've convinced, oh, come along with us. And they're probably with Antifa. But they're Black and brown people, as if though they can't obey the law. And then we want to say, oh, they're being treated unfairly. Well, you just robbed a store. What were you thinking? You do the crime, you do the time. Walking into stores and taking things in broad daylight. And now DA Bragg, he's just going to look the other way. Oh, okay, there's nothing to see here. Did they kill anyone? Okay, fine, let them back on the streets. And they'll do it again and again and again. So what becomes of the family? What becomes of that institution? If that's all they know, that's all they see. Because times will change. And Alvin Bragg won't always be there. And once he's gone and he's out, you're left with the city that's in complete chaos, no jobs. And then the first thing they'll say is, white people don't want to live around the Black people. They're racist. Well, would you want to live around crime? Would you want to live next to someone who's going to come in and steal every night? No, to be clear, all Black people aren't like that. And they see what's happening, but they're afraid to say anything. Because if they say anything, people like Joy Reid will embarrass them, will attack them. I'm hearing that she's on her way out the door to MSNBC. But you know what, guys? Guess who they're going to bring on? Simone Sanders. She's going to come on. So she'll pick up where Joy left off in pontificating a false narrative.
So Joy Reid is leaving MSNBC?
No, I didn't say she's leaving. I think if she had her gather, she would stay there. But I think she's being forced out. I think they've had enough of her lies.
Good.
But I mean, they're letting one clown and letting another clown in. Who's going to, like I said, pick up on the pontification? The truth has to be told. And right now, what we see, it's not good. It simply isn't good. And BB, I'm glad that you wanted to talk about this because it's an important topic.
You know, it is. And I want to be sure that Black people, I think it's very important for us to speak up. And why do I say that? Because the left uses us. They use our history as you know, slaves, our ancestors as slaves, to try to demonize the United States, to constantly try to make America look bad, when the fact of the matter is the United States has given Blacks more opportunities than any other country that I'm aware of on Earth. We're probably the wealthiest Blacks on this planet. America has been very good to this country, and yet they want to keep pulling us into racism because that's all they have left. Karl Marx divided the population according to class. Well, those who are Marxists and communists in this country, they only have really race. And so they're going to constantly do that. But in the end, they are killing Black America, right? I mean, they're pushing abortion. They're pushing the lawlessness. You know, we'll get past Alvin Bragg, but what about the girl who was raped and now has to live with this for the rest of her life? What about the young lady? I mean, it's just the damage that could be done to our children while we have an Alvin Bragg, while we have these leftist policies, masking up our children, letting some of them, making some of them eat outside because they haven't been vaccinated with an experimental drug. This is outrageous. So we'll get past this, but the damage, the psychological damage, cannot be measured at this point. So what New York City went through in the 1970s, it brought in Giuliani and it brought in Ray Carrick. And I'm praying after this era, we'll have a Republican mayor and to bring some common sense and law and order back to the city.
You're so point on, BB Diamond. And as I mentioned, we're coming up on the birthday of Martin Luther King. And his whole idea, the concept was content of character. And if you look at what's happening now with the country, and it seems as if though there's a push to take us back to segregation, I would ask all of you to study the case Plessy versus Ferguson and look at that. Because that was a case whereby the Supreme Court got it wrong when they said separate but equal. And I'm so afraid, BB and Andrew, that we're moving back toward those days of separation. Because if you see what the progressive people are pushing, it's extremely scary. So we're going to talk about that. As I said, we might have a show on Monday to talk about it. I'm going to see if we can get BB Diamond and Barbara from Harlem, who wrote a very good book, Escaping the Racism of Low Expectation. I don't know if she's going to be available or not. We'll look into it. But if she's not, we will still have a show on Monday in honor of Martin Luther King and his dream, content of character and not all this division and the segregationist that's taking place within the Democrat Party.
May I just take 20 seconds and say this? This is how outrageous they've become. We have to have a vaccine passport to eat in a restaurant in New York City or work out in a gym. But we illegals, or no one has to have an ID to exercise one of the most important rights in this country, and that is to vote. And what they are, what they're doing now is segregation. So little children have to eat outside, and many of them are minorities because we don't trust the vaccines. We don't have enough information, and everything keeps changing. They have to eat outside. Side while other children are eating inside. So it's, again, colored versus white. It's that whole Jim Crow laws. So the Democrat Party has a lot to answer for and atone for. And I'd love to join you on MLK Day for that show. Thank you.
Well said, BB. And thank you so much for joining us tonight. BB Diamond, our guest, friend of the show. You can go to AmericaOutLoud.com and find all of her appearances on our show. She's frequent on our show, and we always appreciate her coming on. The holiday season might be over, but it is not too late to take care of your health. Head on over to healthycell.com. If you're looking for better sleep, focus, and energy, check out Healthy Cell, the leading innovator of nutritional supplements for cell health. Healthy Cell vitamins work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Absorb a healthier lifestyle with Healthy Cell's pill-free vitamins. They come in a gel pack, taste pretty good. I highly recommend you guys give a shot to Healthy Cell. And the best part is if you head on over to healthycell.com, you can save 20% off your order with the code OUTLOUD. Thank you all for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcast. We'll see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.